Hello. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus and having victory over internet porn, and my name is Paul. So tonight the lesson is called Seven Reasons We Get Stuck. What do you think about when you think about being stuck? Well, take a look at this video.
Tiny desert springs bubble to the surface. But don't be fooled. This could be lethal quicksand, which has been known to swallow vehicles and people whole. Fall into this, and you'd be in big trouble. I'm going to show you how to get out of it alive.
And what's nasty about this stuff is the more you fight it, the more it, like, pulls you in. And look, you suddenly realise it's not just this crust of sand that you thought, but actually it's all of that clay and water. And each time you pull it, try and pull your leg up, the suction just pulls it back in. That's why these things are so dangerous. And the reason these can actually kill people is not because they swallow you, it's because they just don't let you out of it. And the killer is that, the sun. Okay, I want to be trying to get out of this place now.
Quicksand is twice as dense as your body, so in theory it should be impossible to drown. But if you panic, you just get sucked in further and you won't have a hope of getting out.
That's really tempting just to reach out and grab a hand. But actually, in many ways, that's the last thing you want to do. The danger is you then pull somebody else into the same situation you're in.
Or you could dislocate your shoulder, but getting out of here is a battle. Only last year, two young teenagers were out looking for food on the bottom of a muddy lake, and both died in quicksand.
So the way to get out of this is to try and pull your legs up towards the surface. But really, the number one rule is keep calm, don't fight it. You know, the more you fight the thing, the more it's gonna pull you in. So just try and control your breathing. And try and maneuver your chest onto the surface. Try and get a leg out. And then just monkey crawl your way out. God, feels like I've got lead boots on.
Okay,
first
thanks.
Thing you've got to do is get these muddy clothes off. If you try walking far like this, you're just going to get massive rubbing all the way under your armpits.
I know some of you wanted to see him take his clothes off. So there's a lot of things said in that clip that made me think of recovery in general. Some of us are reluctant to jump in and into recovery because we think the harder we work at it, the behinder we will get. We're very skeptical. For some time now, I've been thinking about trying to figure out why 12-step programs work. What's so magic about the 12 steps? At Celebrate Recovery, we've taken the 12 steps and we've combined them into 8 principles and added scriptural support. But other programs like AA and Al-Anon, they don't have those verses, and they still work. In looking at the 12 steps, 6 of them refer to God, and 7 of the principles refer to God. So the key to why these things work is that they're spiritual and that they lead us to God. If it were not for God's leading in the first place, the steps would probably not even exist. You can't be in any 12-step program for very long without moving towards God. It comes up in step 2. So then, if God is behind all this, why do we get stuck? 7 reasons are in your handout. And I want to start on reason number 2. Reason number two, you have not completely surrendered your life and your will to the Lord. Step three is, we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. Implied in this is this step is a faith in God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And that's Hebrews 11:6. Don't move beyond step three without dealing with your relationship with God. God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus was a sacrifice for our sins. And he was raised from the dead so that we could have a new life with him. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what the phrase ask Jesus into your heart means, even though that phrase is not found in the Bible. Accepting Christ is the only way that we get the rewards that God offers. Jesus has done everything already. We just have to make him our Lord and believe in the resurrection. In your handout, we're on step two, the verse is Proverbs 3:5-6. Get this, what it says. If you want favor with both God and man, and if you want a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust in the Lord completely. Don't ever trust in yourself. If everything you do, in everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. That verse describes so well what it means to turn your life and your will over to the Lord. Let's go to reason three. You have not accepted Jesus' work on the cross for your forgiveness. Once you have believed the work of Christ, your past, present, and future sins are forgiven already. The second verse in the handout, in your handout, is Ephesians 1:7. It says, so overflowing is his kindness toward us that he took away all our sins through the blood of his son, by whom we are saved. And look at the third verse, which, by the way, that verse is Isaiah 1:18, not Romans 8:1. So you might want to change that in your handout, Isaiah 1:18. It says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Your handout says through, not through. Change that also. So it's a curse for me that I spot these things. It's part of my recovery that I'm trying to stop that. But anyway, so the verse says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be as wool. The first verse in 1 John 1:9. I think that's in your handout. But if we confess our sins to him, he can be depended on to forgive us from every wrong. So our sins are already forgiven, but God wants us to confess them to him and to others. God wants a small group sharing time with each one of us. Take advantage of it. And then Romans 1:8, which is not printed on the handout, says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. If God forgives us and he wants to hear from us and he never condemns us, then we really need to get that pounded into our heads and into our hearts. If we don't, then we live with guilt that causes us to be stuck. Guilt that Christ has already hung on the cross for us. Reason number five. You are afraid of the risk in making the necessary change. When you accept Jesus as Lord, you get one great gift automatically. You get the Holy Spirit in you to guide you and help you. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That was Romans 5:5. John 14:16 describes this also in another way when Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, which means you can't lose it. And that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. That's John 14:16. The Holy Spirit brings along with him his fruits, which are described in Galatians 5:22 and 23. And it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is not a list of goals. These are given to us by having the Spirit in us. So when you see yourself finally having self-control over your habits, don't give yourself credit, but praise the Spirit for making these things happen in you. The Spirit can help you with your fears, fear of failure. None of us wants to fail and have to get up again, but faith in Christ can help you get back up and move on. The fear of intimacy because of the fear of rejection, and the fear of the unknown. Isaiah 41:10 in your handout says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And Hebrews 13:6 says, that is why we can say without any doubt or fear, the Lord is my helper, and I am not afraid of anything that mere man can do to me. Now, let's go back and pick up the other reasons, starting with number one. You have not completely worked the previous principle. The verse that goes with this is Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Becoming a follower of Jesus brings the Spirit to us. Jesus sent the Spirit to us, and he is in us as a helper. So let the Spirit guide you through the steps. Let him reveal to you the exact nature of your wrongs. Talk to the Spirit when you pray. Ask the Spirit for guidance for all the steps. So how do you completely work a principle? Every principle is important and becomes the basis for the next step, so you have to get the first one before going on. First, pray and ask the Spirit to reveal to you what he wants to reveal, and make a promise to him to listen. Listen to the teachings. Read the lesson in your step study or in the handouts. Go over the Bible verses in your own Bible. Read the verses around that verse and think about the context. Maybe read the surrounding paragraphs. Read the whole Bible. Not then, but later. Then think through what the principle and the verses mean. What questions are raised for you? And don't just gloss over it. For example, in principle one says, realize I'm not God. Glossing over it would be to say, well, duh, I'm not God. I know I'm not God. Done with that one. But you might ask yourself, is there any way that I could be trying to solve a habit in my life that really is better solved by God? Yes. Well, then maybe I don't realize I'm not God. Maybe I think I am God. We're telling God, in my case, pornography. I'm telling God, you take care of the pornography, but I got the rest. No problem. But we need to think that we're not God all the time. So go after the principles and the steps until you feel certain you get it. We're starting over on step one in 2 weeks, September 23rd. Keep your hand out and go over it. Get some help if it eludes you. We do a lesson in the worship time every 2 weeks. So take the whole 2 weeks to think about that step. In a step study, there's only 1 week between the lessons, but questions are provided to help you dig into each step. So get into a step study and start digging. But completely work each principle before going on to the next. Reason number 4. You have not forgiven others who have harmed you. The verse is 1 Peter 5:10-11. After you have suffered a little while, our God, who is full of kindness through Christ, will give you his eternal glory. He personally will pick you up, set you firmly in place, and make you stronger than ever. So forgiveness is hard to give. You have to let go of the pain and the past harm and abuse. Until you're able to release it and forgive it, then it will continue to hold you as its prisoner. Christ is a supreme example of forgiveness. He so wanted to forgive us that he hung on the cross to make it possible for that. It's easy to blame God for our sins, for the sins of others that cause us pain. We can say, why would God allow this? But it is people, not God, that have harmed us. God gave all people free will to choose what they do. It's the free will of some person that did you wrong, not God. But if that's been your thinking, blaming it on God, then ask God to forgive you for blaming him. And then remember God's promise, which we just read, that he will personally pick you up, set you firmly in place, and make you stronger than ever. So, reason 6. You are not willing to own your responsibility. We need to evaluate our responsibility and what has happened to us. We cannot go on saying that none of it was our fault. Of course, in the case of abuse, in no way is the victim at fault or responsible for the abuse. In fact, we have a 12-step thing that for sexual and physical abuse. Step 8 says, made a list of all persons who have harmed us and became willing to seek God's help in forgiving our perpetrators as well as forgiving ourselves. Realize that we have also harmed others and become willing to make amends to them. But with that exception, we need to take the responsibility for our part in a broken relationship or a damaged friendship or with a distant child or parent. Psalm 139:23-24 says, examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and discover if there is any evil in me, and guide me in the everlasting way. We increase our ability and our stability and our responsibility when we increase our accountability to God. And then reason 7, you have not developed an effective support team. Do you have a sponsor or an accountability partner? Or do you have some phone numbers from the people in your small group? Look around for people that you think would make good accountability partners and just ask them. Proverbs 13:20 says, be with wise men and become wise. Be with evil men and become evil. And Galatians 5:13 says, for dear brothers, you have been given freedom, not freedom to do wrong, but freedom to love and serve each other. And the last verse in your handout is Galatians 6:2. Share each other's troubles and problems, and so obey our Lord's command. So as you saw in that movie, there is a way out, and it does sometimes feel like having lead boots on. But take time this week and reflect on your progress and your growth. Talk to someone. Think about these 7 reasons and work with someone to implement a plan of action. Pull yourself out of the quicksand and move ahead on your journey. Thanks.